If you have a child with type 1 diabetes, whether they were diagnosed 5 days ago or 5 years ago, you continue to have questions. These are the questions about the emotional side of living with diabetes, the questions about how to parent diabetes. I'm Joanne Robb, a psychotherapist and fellow T1D mom, and I've been parenting diabetes for almost 15 years. In this podcast, I'm here to answer your questions about the emotional and relational challenges that come with being a caregiver for a child with type 1 diabetes. Before we dive in, I have to remind you that I'm not a doctor and nothing that I offer here should be considered medical advice. If you want to make any changes to the way you or your child is managing their type 1, please be sure to check in with your doctor or medical team. Let's get started. Hi there, Joanne here. Wanted to let you know that this will be the last podcast episode I'm putting out through this summer, and if you would like some guidance on any issue that's coming up for you around parenting T1D, just feel free to reach out to me and we can schedule a time to meet, record a podcast episode, and get you some personalized answers to your personal questions. Thanks for listening. Hi, and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so delighted you're here. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, where you are, who your T1D kid is, and then we can think together about what your question is.
Sure. Yep. So I'm Nikki. I'm from the UK. My daughter Ethie was diagnosed 18 months ago, and when she was 5 years old, she's now 6 and a half. And yeah, I'm just interested to learn more about what everyone else is experiencing.
Okay. And tell me, Nikki, what is bringing you on the show? Like, what question do you have that brings you here?
So I'm interested in knowing how other people are affected work-wise after diagnosis. So after Ethie was diagnosed, I really struggled with work, and it led me to take some pretty drastic steps. So I'm just interested to know other people's stories, how they coped after diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, what were the drastic steps you took?
So I worked from home anyway, but I was working 50, 60 hours per week, full time, around the kids. And after Ethie was diagnosed, she was ill and she was declining pretty fast. So over the space of 2 weeks, she'd had all the signs of diabetes, but I didn't know about them. I didn't really recognize them. We obviously ended up in hospital with her, and she was diagnosed on the spot. And I went back to work pretty quickly. Ethie was in hospital for 5 days. And whilst I was in hospital with her, trying to learn how to care for her, trying to, you know, understand what's actually happening, how we can make her life as normal as possible, I was also working at hospital. And yeah, so that was, and I think that's just purely because my employers didn't understand the complexity of it, and I didn't expect them to, because I didn't understand it either. But there was no support, there was no kind of understanding that I need to take a bit of a step away so that I can help my daughter. So my drastic measures were, it kind of, gradually over the space of a year, I would say I got more and more stressed about work, and I felt more guilty about not being able to offer Ethie the care that I felt she needed because I was too distracted with work. So I actually quit the job, and I'm now self-employed, which means I'm able to, you know, control my working hours, and if I need to put down work, I can do. So yeah, quite a big step, but I'm absolutely so glad that I did it. But it saw me go through a bit of I was definitely depressed, ended up on, you know, antidepressant tablets, feeling mum guilt daily. And it was quite a big journey for all of us as a family. But I think in our household, I am the default parent. So it definitely took a bigger toll on me than it did my husband.
Wow, Nikki, that really is a huge journey for you. Thinking about, you know, you wanted to show up as well as I can tell you always showed up right at work. And you had something, I love the way you said it. You said, my employers didn't understand the complexity of it, and I didn't understand it either, right? Yeah. It took a minute for you to figure out how complex diabetes was, and that you needed some time and space
to learn it and to figure it out.
Definitely.
I guess I wonder, so I feel like the question you're asking, like, what do other people do? And I can only really tell you what has happened for me. But I think what you're asking is, in some ways, like, is this normal that people have to step back from work? And I guess I wonder, how is it feeling to you now that you're here in this place? Like, do you feel, because there's this balance always with our kids about what we do for them and what we do for us. And the us piece might be around earning money for them too, right? Like, there's a complexity there that's interwoven. But I think the question is, for the you part, like, you were working hard, you were, sounds like, successful. And, you know, if you're working 60 hours a week, you're working very hard. And so now you're not working as much. And I wonder a little bit what that's like for you to have made that shift, because it feels to me like there's something that maybe you're still noodling over in your brain.
Yeah, I think because I had been working, I knew I'd been working too much anyway, working 50, 60 hours per week, as well as running a house, as well as looking after two children. It's hard. It's hard enough. So in some ways, I think the diagnosis that has made me sit back and think, you know what, you're working too much and you need to take a step back. And it's made me take that step to go self-employed. So in some ways, it's been a bit of a blessing because I'm now working less but earning more. And I'm more present with the kids. So it has in a weird way been a blessing, but at the same time, I also know that I've been quite lucky in that respect, that in the sense that I was able to take that step. I was able to just quit that job and be supported by my husband for a couple of months until I set up my own business. And I know that there are families out there that won't have that luxury. And I think it's kind of spurred me to have a bit of a concern over other parents who are employed, who aren't getting support, who feel like they have to do everything. They still have to work. They still have to look after their children. And they're going to be completely burnt out because it is hard. The diagnosis in itself is such a hard blow. And I felt a sense of grief when she was diagnosed, because I was like, she's a child. She's now got to overthink everything. She can't just run to the park. It is a sense of grief. And I didn't have the right support from work to help me come to terms with that. And as I say, I feel like that there's something missing there from the responsibilities of employers, that they need to ensure that they're being inclusive to all, whether it's the member of staff who has type one, or if it's the member of staff who has a child with type one. They still need to, be inclusive and make provisions, I think.
You know, what you're saying is actually political, I think. Like, you're making a really important statement about how we're in community with each other and we have responsibility for each other, even when we can't operate at our best. Like, when we need a break to step away, these are very real things that different countries manage in different ways with more or less success. There's all that, I'm going to call it mythology, just because I've never been there and seen it firsthand, but like how Scandinavian countries are so good at taking care of the sort of family needs of the people who live there. And the US is a patchwork based on your state and your locality. And I don't actually know enough about the UK. I think of them as sort of, with socialized medicine, as having more understanding, and the world keeps shifting. And also, it's person to person, right? They're the laws that protect us as mothers who have a child with a diagnosis, right? But there are also the people. And so you're saying, hey, I'm worried for people who aren't as fortunate as me, which is lovely of you. And what do they do? And sort of politically, what protects them? And that I don't know. What I have seen in my 15 some odd years of being at this game as a T1D parent is that a lot of mothers step back. A lot of mothers step back because they can't do everything. It's just not possible, especially in the first year where you're drowning in information and fear and grief, that in particular mothers become the lead diabetes parent. That is tends to be what happens. It's not always, but it tends to be what happens. And they step out of the workplace in the way that they were in it often, not always, but often. And they find ways to make it work. And yeah, there are going to be families where that's not going to be as logistically possible, like from a financial place. I bet there are. And are those kids going to struggle more with their diabetes? Yes, they are. Absolutely, because our type 1 kids thrive to the extent that they do, in part, not only, but in part because of the scaffolding and support we provide them with. And so you stepping back was an act of true love and support, knowing that Efi needed this for now. And she might not need it in, I mean, she's only 6, so she might not need it in X number of years, but she's going to need it for a while.
And then I'll have the whole process of trying to let go and let her be independent with the diabetes, and I'm sure that's a whole other series.
It is. But actually that starts really in some ways from day one. I feel like from watching your kid, and I mean, this is a different question, but it starts when your child says, I'd like to do my own finger stick, or I want to insert my own pump, or I'd like to count those carbs, or anything that she's saying that she wants to do. I don't know what tech she's on. I want to push the buttons. All of that is her taking a small step, step by step by step, towards her independence.
They're so resilient. They just amaze me, the kids that have to put up with this, because it is hard. And especially, and I think when they've experienced a life before diabetes as well, I think that's just the change that they have to make in such a short space of time. They just amaze me. They're just incredible. Kids are incredible.
They are. It's so true. In some way, I think not for all kids, I've definitely heard this not be true, but for many kids, the diagnosis is easier for them than for the parents, right? Because they just step into the role, unless there's a lot of phobia about needles. Often kids will sort of step up initially and they're like, I can do this. It's okay. And we as parents are reeling from the information, the overload, the responsibility, the fear, the grief, all those things.
Definitely. It's a lot.
It is. So I guess I don't know if I'm actually answering your question about work because it feels general, but I mean, I'm hearing for you, it sort of has a happy ending, right? You have more flexibility and more money, which is amazing.
It's like I said, I've been really lucky to have kind of stepped into the role that I've got. But I wouldn't have pushed myself to do that had I not been in the situation that we're in with the diabetes and with having to, give her the extra care that she needs. But yeah, I think it is a good conversation to have, because I'm pretty sure there will be other parents out there that might be feeling like they can't do everything. They might be feeling the overwhelm of everything, but they just don't feel like that's normal. But it is, it obviously is.
No, it totally is. And I guess I wonder, since you're still holding the question, like, does have you given yourself permission to really be here now? Do you know what I mean? There's a role loss, ROLE. You had a role as an earner. I mean, you still are an earner, in fact, even better, but as like a worker in the world in a really different way. And I wonder if that feel is that's part of the grief for you, even though it's a happy ending financially and flexibility, but it's a big transition. I wonder what that is for you.
Well, I spent 4 years with the company that I was with, and I think that there's probably possibly a sense of grief for the friends that I thought I had with that role as well, because it didn't end well. So yeah, there's a sense, it's possibly coming to terms with that as well, maybe.
Who you were in the world and how it didn't travel with you as you transitioned to having a kid with type 1. That feels very real to me.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anything else here that you wanted to think about? How does it feel to talk it through?
It's good, actually. It's good to know that I'm speaking to someone who understands, and you've also been through the process, or you've seen other parents go through the process, and it's you know, it's just nice to speak to someone who understands, I think, because I don't know a lot of other parents who have children with type one. Although recently we did move house, and Ethie did start a new school, and there is another type one child there. So she's, although it's unfortunate that he has type one, it's that bit of community for her as well, because she didn't have any other friends in common. Mm-hmm. She's enjoying it. She loves having that little bit of support, and they laugh at each other's alarms going off, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. That's great. It's super. Are they in the same class?
He's a year younger, but they get to play together and have lunch together and stuff. So yeah.
That's really great. I really actually think having a kid in school, I mean, that's sort of magical to share that at school. And have you talked to that boy's mother? Do you know her story?
So he had a diversity, so we managed to have a little bit of a chat then. But apparently his father had type 1 diabetes as well, mm-hmm. so it's kind of just passed down mm-hmm. to him. We don't get to chat much, but I suppose I could reach out to her, and I've always thought, you know, I try and comment on Facebook and sort of say, you know, I'm here if you need me, type of thing, or just try and build up community, I suppose.
Yeah. I guess I wonder, Nikki, if it might be good for you to hear her work story to see, did she have to step back? Was she already in a part-time thing? Because often parents are, or mothers, you know, shift their work schedules as they have kids.
Yeah.
But that might feel reassuring to you that other people have had similar experiences, you know, because I think it's true. It's just a lot to manage.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well, thank you, my dear, for coming on the show and asking this amazing question about this balance of like work and diabetes, because in all my years of doing this, no one's asked about that. And I think it's really real that whoever is the lead diabetes parent often finds they, especially with younger kids, if you have a teenage kid, you can ask more of them, for example, but with younger kids, often mothers are having to readjust their schedules to accommodate the needs of diabetes, and that can be really hard.
Yeah, it affects everything, doesn't it? Sleep and everything. She has the Dexcom G6 and Omnipod 5 now, which is mm-hmm. great. But we still have lows through the night, and she doesn't hear it. No one else hears the alarms, but I do.
Yeah. Another reason that you couldn't be working a 60-hour week job, right? You couldn't keep your eyes open anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Nikki, thanks so much for coming on and asking this really great question.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thanks again for listening today. If you want answers to your questions about parenting a kid with type 1, I'd like to invite you to join our live recording sessions so you can ask your questions in person. Not only will you get the support you need and deserve, but through the podcast, you'll be helping other T1D parents to know that they're not alone with the challenges they're facing. To join one of my live recording sessions, simply go to www.diabetessweettalk.com and click the banner at the top of the page to register. Again, go to www.diabetessweettalk.com and click the banner at the top of the page to register.